From the studios of WMAA-FMHD, welcome to another edition of How You're Living, a show about life with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guest, and not of WMAA-FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. And now, here's your host, Dr. Nanette and Keith Funderburk.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburks. I am Dr. Nanette Funderburk, your resident psychotherapist. And as always, I've brought with me today...
Dr. Funderburk, you've got your boy, your main man, Keith Funderburk. And I'm right back with you.
Right back with me.
That's right. And Dr. Funderburk, look, I am the resident brother man.
You are the resident brother man. Okay, so I'm the resident psychotherapist. You're the resident... brother man.
That's right. You know, I got to have something. I mean, my wife got these old fancy titles.
I ain't no fancy titles.
You know, she got those letters at the end of her name. Man, I don't even know what all that stuff means, all them letters.
Oh, stop it.
I know, Dr. Funderburk. Look, before we get into the meat of the show, Dr. Funderburk, look, I've got a special name this week.
Okay. What's your name?
That's right. I want you to call me the Congressman.
The Congressman. You do like politics.
Look, I love politics. I go to sleep with the news on. I wake up with the news on.
You do.
That's right. I am just a news kind of guy.
You are. And during election, I remember, especially during some past election seasons, I would say, do you need a 12-step program? I mean,
man,
I need to get you off of some of these. I mean, you'd go from station one to station two to station three to app one to app
right,
two to
right.
app three. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. Because I can't do it like that, y'all. It's too much for me.
I've got to have it all. I remember my brother and I, we were growing up. And Dr. Funderburk, look, we would have like all the state. Back then, it was only like three major stations. And so we would have like the TVs turned to all stations. And man, we would be getting the returns.
Oh, my goodness.
And I tell you what really got me excited is when we went down to the Coliseum. And that's where the returns were for Greensboro.
Oh.
And so I got to see it all, man. It was just like, wow. I was like a...
You were buzzing.
I was buzzing. Now, look, today, no, man. I'm at the crib. I'm in my chair. I got my popcorn. I am looking at the TV, the apps, and all that, man. I am an analyst.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, that's right.
Armchair analyst.
That's right. But Dr. Funderburk, seriously, though, I do want you to call me the Congressman.
Okay, Congressman. Yeah. What? Who do you represent?
I represent this house of this district, the district of my house. That's right, right here in the circle of my house.
You're the congressman.
I'm the congressman of my house.
I got you.
That's right. I got a total of two constituents, my wife and my daughter.
Did we both vote for you?
Well, you know what? You never know. You never know. So that's right. So Dr. Funderburk,
yes, sir.
Do expect your vote this year in November.
Oh, that's funny. But, you know, growing up, from what I heard, because, you know, we didn't grow up together, but from what I've heard, that you were actually called, people thought you were going to be a congressperson or at least some person in some ranking political office.
Well, and that's the reason for the show, Dr. Funderburk.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And the name of the show is Who Am I?
Who Am I?
Yeah, that's the name
Who
of the show.
I?
Who Am I? Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say that is because as children grow up, you get all types of names and some of those names, you actually live it out.
I mean,
you know, it might be the name or it might just be something that they do.
Yeah.
But it's just a part of their identity.
Right. Right.
So I remember growing up, my brother and I, my twin brother, that is, we were nerds. We often, you know, we did like the political scene and
so when you would call me a nerd in other shows, it was actually you.
No. Dr. Farmer, see, your nerd is really nerdy. I was a cool nerd.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm like the cool nerd, like President Obama.
Okay.
You know, he got the swag.
Okay, if you say so.
Yeah, but Dr. Thunderberg, man, yeah. you talked proper and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Spoke properly.
Oh, see, there it is. See? now, why your educated wife gonna try to put you on blast?
Because you just tried. Anyway, keep going.
But, you know, but of course, you know, but seriously, though, mm-hmm. you know, I grew up with members of my family and my community. Mm-hmm. They just really just called my brother and I. We were little, you know, congressmen walking around.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know. But then they also, to this day, they call you. Twin,
that's right. Well, look.
Mm-hmm. Hey, twin.
That's right. I'm like my aunts and uncles. Sometimes they can't. They don't. You know. They still. Now my brother, of course. You know. You all know he's deceased.
Mm-hmm.
So you only got to remember one name. You don't have to remember.
But which one are you?
But that's right. Though. That's the crazy part. How you still calling me twin? It's been 14 years since my twin brother died.
You're still a twin, though, just because he passed away. You're still a twin.
I know, but see, that was Kevin.
Yes.
And now it's Keith. It's like, ain't... No, okay, y'all. So if you're listening to the show, auntie or uncles, sorry, I just put you on blast.
We still live.
That's right, but it is Keith. Kevin passed on.
Oh, my goodness. Kevin's up there laughing at us.
That's right. But again, but from a mental health perspective, mm-hmm. you know, again, the show is entitled, Who Am I?
But yes, can I jump in? I'm sorry.
Yes, okay, go ahead.
So, you know, when you talk about you being labeled or you two were called twin, I mean, that absolutely was your identity. Even though your twin is not here anymore, you're still identified that way.
Oh, of course, you know, because mm-hmm. I told you, I believe it was on the last show, mm-hmm. you know, we were there at the beginning.
Yeah,
and so
my
whole identity really
was as a twin.
As a twin. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think about it even now, you know, if someone says twin or hollering out the word twin, I'm looking and say, hey, somebody's calling my name.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's totally a part of my who I am.
So what we are called, even when you're a child, what we're called plays into who you are and who you think you are and who you think about yourself as being.
Wow. So that's true.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when you think about our children growing
mm-hmm.
up,
mm-hmm.
you know, okay, now here we go, y'all. Now, y'all know in the hood and our families, that's right.
All our families are not in the hood.
Oh, that is true, because Dr. Frumlake, you know, y'all didn't grow up in the hood.
I mean, I didn't, but there are other folks that didn't grow up in the hood.
Okay,
either.
So when you grew up in the black community.
Okay. Let's say that in the black community.
Mm-hmm. And then some of us, we had some really interesting names.
Now, that's true.
Now think about it. Okay, so if you're listening to the show, you may be driving home, or you may be thinking, you may even have children in the back seat, and they're going to be thinking, Mama, what they talking about? Y'all had different kind of names? Yes, we did.
Even now, I mean, we still, because you know how it happened. You know what happens. Somebody passes away and then you go to the funeral and you realize, oh, that's what Uncle Juke's real name was.
That is Uncle Juke. Hey, and don't mess up Uncle Juke's name now. Now, his name might have been William. We didn't know that.
But nobody know. His name was William Eugene, whatever.
No, that was Uncle Drew. Now, Dr. Funderburg, now what was really interesting, though, because you got an interesting family member's name.
Oh, yes.
Okay,
so there was one family member, one cousin growing up, and her nickname was Eatmo.
Eatmo?
Eatmo.
Oh, my goodness. Now, I don't know if I ever heard of Eatmo.
Yeah. I was like, Mama, y'all called her Eatmo.
Eatmo. Okay, so what is the deal with Sister Eatmo?
Well, because they said she ate a lot. So she was always going to eat some more.
Uh-oh, that is right there. Eatmo.
Yeah, Eatmo. And, you know, I couldn't believe that when... That I think my mom and my aunts told me that they, you know, called this person that. And I was like, oh, my goodness, that just I think I was like, man, I'm glad that's not my name.
I mean, because can you imagine? I mean, you grew up and that was your name. I mean, everybody
knew you were going to be the one to eat a lot. And then I don't know, because this cousin is older than I am. I think she's a lot older than I am. So we were not children at the same time.
Right.
So I don't know what she actually looked like then. I know as an adult, she did train a lot, though. She worked out a lot. And she did go into the military, and so she was definitely always trying to pass her PT tests. But I think that was that avenue of going that way and getting healthy and getting fit. I mean, I feel like that was a part of it. It was like her identity was that she ate a lot. And so I don't know if she was actually a big child, but I do know that I think that's why it seemed so odd to me, because I never knew her as a large person, or I never knew her, you know, just eating a lot and things like that. I knew her as the person who was always very fit. So, you know, for her, it maybe went a good direction, maybe because she chose to go into the military, it went a better direction. But I could also see somebody saying, oh, my name is Eat Mo, so that's what I'm just going to do, Eat Mo and Mo and Mo, right?
Wow. See, it is just so amazing, you know, growing up and the names we give our children. Mm-hmm. And it can be, and sometimes it may not be a name, it might just be a characteristic. Of a child, you know, because sometimes some of our children, you know, maybe they might be a particular complexion, you know, or they may be a particular size. You know, sometimes I remember growing up, and I can remember some folks in my home or in the family. You know, some of my cousins, they had big legs. And so they would always talk about the, you know, the big brown legs. So it's just something, you know, over time, these names have an impact on a child.
Or, you know, it also, well, one other thing I wanted to put out there. So my cousin who was labeled Eatmo, and that was her name, Eatmo.
Right.
So when she had a son, so her son and I were closer to the same age.
Okay.
But she never called him by a negative nickname.
Wow.
His nickname was actually very, progressive or, but it was a positive nickname. His nickname was Professor.
Wow. So big difference. Big difference.
Yeah. And so, you know, I wonder if maybe she said, I'm going to call him something positive, because she had such a negative nickname. I don't know. I never asked her that. Maybe I should, but I just think that's interesting.
Of course, you know, that's extremely interesting. So you're listening to How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburgs. You got Keith and Dr. Nanette Funderburg. Yeah, we're talking about the topic of who am I? Mm-hmm. All right, Doc. So you got your mental health background. You got your mental health hat on.
Yes, sir.
I want to ask you this question up front then. So how, for children, again, children become adults, how does how you label your child, identify your child by the words, when the words come out of your mouth and you say this particular item over and over and over again, how does that impact a child's identity or how they see themselves?
It's easy for that child to take on whatever that thing is. So it could be a name like we were talking about, Eatmo versus Professor. It could be something like that. Or it could just be a characteristic. I think you just mentioned that word, characteristic. So, for example, if you say, yeah, my daughter or my son is such a picky eater, and if you're always saying, my child is a picky eater, my child is a picky eater, my child is a picky eater, that child hears, oh yeah, I'm a picky eater. So I'm going to be picky. Because that's what this person who I give a lot of authority to, or this person that whom I look to for direction, calls me picky. So I must actually be picky. So I don't want to eat that. What else do you have?
Wow. You know, I think about our own daughter, you know, you know, I recently said, and, you know, she could hear me saying, you know, her name is Charlotte. And I said, Charlotte, you know, Charlotte's a picky eater.
Oh, so, did you say that?
I did. I actually said that, Dr. Winterberg.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And so what did she say?
Well, she didn't say anything at the time.
But
the real deal is that she heard it. And so if I continue to say that over and over and over again, mm-hmm. she will, you know, that'll have an impact.
Oh, absolutely. It will have an impact. So that, thank you for saying that, because I'm going to be I'm going to be saying the opposite. You know, but something, you know, that is the opposite.
But uh-huh. again, you know, from a developmental stage, mm-hmm. for children, I mean, she's 3 years old, mm-hmm. you know, they are picky eaters at 3 years old.
Well, but that depends on, you know, what you say about a child, or what you say about anyone really, can start to shape who they actually become. Oh, what is the psych experiment? I'm trying to remember. I can't remember the like who did it or when right now. Maybe we can talk about it on our next show. But it's an old psych experiment that probably some pieces of it right now couldn't be done today, just because pieces of it sounded a little bit unethical to me back in the day. But the point of it was that certain kids who came into a particular study were given the label of gifted, or given the label of, I don't know what the other label was, something negative. Mm-hmm. So I can't think of the actual term right now, but the ones who were labeled as gifted, now all of them were the same. Right, everybody right. in the experiment was the same. But some were labeled as gifted and some were labeled as not gifted. And the ones who were labeled as gifted, even though all of them were the same, mm-hmm. they started to act differently. They started to put in work as though they actually, hey, I'm the smart one in this group. So, mm-hmm. let me try to figure that out, and let me work harder. And some of them actually did better on certain tasks that they were given, simply because the names were different. I really want to, so next show, we've got to, just popped into my head as we were on this show right here today. But the experiment literally talked about how the only difference between the students was that they were labeled differently.
Wow.
You know, and so that they then acted differently. Go ahead.
You know, so that's really interesting then. So what about growing up, if I'm exposed to like toxic stress mm-hmm. in life, you know, or, you know, mm-hmm. we got some type of issues growing up, mm-hmm. can that impact how I identify myself?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because toxic stress is the type of stress we talk about with ACEs, the adverse childhood experiences. And so toxic stress, that's not just, oh, I had a stressful moment. Toxic stress is, oh, I've had a stressful childhood.
Right, right.
And so it's like those stress hormones come out, and for most people, they come out and when they're needed, and then they go back in.
Okay.
For people who are under toxic stress, the stress hormones come out and then they just stay out.
Wow.
And so now you've got this growing body, this growing physical body, this growing brain that is still developing, organs that are still developing, but yet they are being bathed in stress hormones while they are developing. So there's research out there. There's lots of research. Y'all go look it up on ACEs and how the toxic stress that is related to ACEs, how it negatively impacts children growing up. So,
and that's adverse childhood experiences, ACEs.
Correct. Adverse childhood experiences.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you look that up and just look up adverse childhood experiences and it'll all pop up for you. But so some of what the research would find is that, you know, the folks who grew up in toxic stress, they would later on have certain things that might, there's so many things that could happen to folks who have toxic stress later on in life. Things like they have a higher incidence of diseases. They have a higher incidence of mental health issues. Sometimes they don't have great relational mm-hmm, skills, mm-hmm. just depending on what type of toxic stress they grew up in. And so after, it's easy for toxic stress to become generational. Mm-hmm. So meaning if the Smiths, and I'm just using, that's my maiden name. So if the Smiths say, you know, have this bad thing to happen. And I mean, these bad things that end up such that now they're not performing well on tests. And so if they're not performing well on tests at school, then their grades aren't as high. And then when their grades aren't as high, they may or may not decide to go to college, or may or may not decide to go into some program after high school that is going to help them to get a better job later on. And then later on, you'll hear things like, oh yeah, us Smiths, we don't do X.
Right. There you go. There you go.
And so the toxic stress is what slowly started to produce that identity. Us Smiths, you know, we're not big readers. Or us Smiths, we don't do some of these positive things that folks are exposed to sometimes when they don't have toxic stress as a part of their life.
Wow. You know, when you were saying that, I think about, man, back in the day, I heard like certain families, you know, like today we talk about like Team Funderburk or Team Johnson, Team Smith. Man, I can remember, you know, riding on the school bus. And they were saying something about this family name. And everybody knew that when you were talking about, you know, the Joneses, of course, I'm just talking Jones, but they were like the player player. They were the ones that were always, you know, get the girls and all that. And so, but that was an identity that, you know, that was poured onto that particular child.
Yeah. Versus there, because there were certain sibling sets that were known for fighting.
That's right, man. Oh, man. That's right. Dr. Funderburk, man, you brought up a man, a memory. I remember, I don't want to mention the family's name.
Please don't.
But I can remember growing up when we were in middle school. And man, look, you know, and this was a larger family. You know, it's like, don't talk about that family. Because as soon as you talk about that family, you got the whole crew. That's going to come against you. And so, but the thing is, though, is, you know, today, if I'm, you know, talking to Charlotte and I want to make sure we're reinforcing something that's positive. So if I'm saying Team Funderburk, I want her to know that we are high achievers. You
know? Yeah.
You know,
we're high achievers. We're hard workers. We aspire to X, Y, or Z. Yeah, we're looking past where we are right now. Yes.
That's
that,
exactly
we
right.
We want that to be our identity. Sorry.
Because sometimes you're fighting against something, even like when she goes to school. And so let's say if you got a middle schooler or a high schooler, sometimes our identity may not even be who we are.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I know in America today, there's this label that for black boys, you know, when they, and I try to tell black boys, you know, when you get on that school bus, you're living an identity, even if it's not you. When you walk in that classroom, when you're walking down the hall, you know, you're living an identity, you know, and people are going to make a judgment of who you are based off of your color and
just
based
because
off of
what
your
they
gender,
see. Right.
Just because of what they see.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's just amazing because, you know, and how that impacts us as, let's say, for black men, you know, now I'm a grown man. But then if I'm constantly hearing, you know, that black men are in jail, they're in the hospital, you know, because they've done something wrong or they 6 feet under, you know, black men are not just that. And I think we talked about that a few shows ago.
We did. We did. And I think it was important that we did, too. You know, sometimes people really don't. We just don't even think about it sometimes, especially when you may be in a survival type situation and you're not, when you're in survival mode, you're not thinking too much about the future. You're thinking about, OK, let me just get to this very next step. And so it's important when we call kids whatever it is that we call them, even when, you know, some people are very, very intentional about how they will name their child because they recognize the label that could be placed on them, either because of just what the name sounds like or because of the meaning of the name. We were very intentional about Charlotte's name.
Right, right.
Charlotte is a queen, y'all.
That's Charlotte, right.
You know, Charlotte Queen Charlotte. Actually, her name was Sophia Charlotte. Keith is looking like, what? Why are you going into all that?
No. But
the queen, we named Charlotte, we named our baby Charlotte after the queen, first black queen in the UK named. Her full name was Sophia Charlotte of Mecklenburg-Strelitz.
Wow. So then that's... The Charlotte, the Queen City here in North Carolina.
That's the QC, right? That's where we get Charlotte, North Carolina from. I was named after that queen. But also, I said, of course my baby girl is a black queen, and yes, I'm naming her after a queen.
Yeah, but you know what? But and again, we know, and this is going to be a part two show. We're going to do a part two.
Yeah, we probably need to.
Because, you know, we're talking about who am I?
Yeah.
And so how you help your child, you know, you identify your child by what we say.
By what we call them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I want to be able to tell her that I intentionally wanted to name her after a queen. Think about what that does to someone what that would do to her, recognizing what a queen is and the authority that a queen has and the respect that a queen has versus, I remember watching a TV show. The character's name on the TV show was Cougar, and Cougar was named after the vehicle that her dad could not buy.
Wow.
Because he had her. Now, when I heard that on that, this is a TV show, that particular piece was a TV show, y'all. So that piece was not, hopefully it didn't happen in anybody's real life. I thought, oh my goodness, no wonder she was kind of flailing on the show. That was a part of what that character did, was kind of flailing on the show. Because look at what her father, number one, the reason that he labeled her that, and then she's recognizing this person isn't in my life anymore, and this is why he's not in my life, and then these are all the things he couldn't do because I'm here.
Wow.
What does that do? So you all, we've got to pay attention.
Yeah. You know, what about sometimes if you got a child and you were the oops child, you were the one.
Surprise.
The surprise child.
Mm-hmm.
And the surprise, if you always.
Surprise versus oops.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm the surprise child or the oops child, how do you feel? It's like, you know, I was the mistake.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Surprise sounds like, oh, okay, we got a surprise. Yay. Surprise child sounds like that versus oops child is like, oop.
Right.
We mean for you to be here, girl.
Yeah. But that person that may have heard that.
Yeah.
And if they hear that on and on and on again and again and again, you know, it will have an impact on a person's mental health and their self-esteem and how they view themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Furnenberg, we definitely going to have a part two with Who Am I?
I love it. Yes, we need to.
And we're going to get back on that research that you were talking to us about. So that'd
yes,
be cool.
Yes, I will. Uh-huh. I absolutely will. So we hope you join us for the next show, y'all. If you have any questions or comments, please make sure you message the station at WNAAFM@NCAT.edu. And we hope you'll join us next time on How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburks. Take care, y'all.
That wraps up another edition of How You Livin' with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guests and not of WNAA FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. As always, WNAA FM invites your feedback, so give us a call during normal business hours at 336-334-7936. This program was produced in the studios of 90.1 FM WNAA and is the sole property of WNAA FMHD and North Carolina A&T State University. No portion of this program may be aired, played, or reproduced without written permission from WNAA FMHD. Join us again next week for another edition of How You Livin' with the Funderburks on 90.1 FM WNAA.